D-Mace, Finnegan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Finnegan here with you. Ask D-Mace coming up at 12:30. And I want you to be listening to the end of this segment, because I am going to incentivize you to bring your A-game for Ask D-Mace. We will have something to give away.
Ooh, I'm curious.
In connection with Ask D-Mace. So I will let you know what that is exactly at the end of this segment. But we are talking receivers who could potentially be available. We mentioned Davante Adams in the previous segment. Derek, I'm going to go a little rapid fire here with you. And Willie, of course, you can chime in as well. The Titans went to the well, that is the Jacksonville Jaguars, in bringing in Calvin Ridley. Another cut candidate, according to Bill Barnwell of ESPN.com, Christian Kirk. Remember when Christian Kirk signed that big contract with the Jaguars and everybody roasted them? Why are they giving Christian Kirk all this money? It was 4 years, $72 million. I believe he's with the Cardinals, right? He was with the Cardinals.
Yep.
And went to the
His
Jaguars.
First 4 years with the Cardinals, where he had not had 1,000 yards in any season of the four, and still got that contract.
Yes. He had 1,108 yards and 8 touchdowns on a Jaguars team that reached the playoffs. But since then, Kirk has 1,166 yards over the ensuing 2 seasons with injuries, including a broken collarbone last October, limiting him to 20 games over that span. Bill Barnwell writes, quote, "While Kirk isn't a bad player, he has become a sort of cautionary tale for teams that just want to spend whatever they can to get competent players in their lineup." So we were talking about Davante Adams, and Derek, you wondered about whether Davante Adams has the what's the word I'm looking for here? Like he can realize that, maybe, you know, he can realize that, hey, I'm not the Davante Adams anymore. And perhaps that means I may have to take a reduced role. I'm wondering if Christian Kirk, after a couple of down years with the Jacksonville Jaguars, might be more willing to take on that role. What do you think of Christian Kirk if he were to become available as someone who could complement, well, his ex-teammate, Calvin Ridley?
If I am going to, because what scares me is the injuries. And that's one thing that would more likely tell me I don't want to even go down that road. But for the sake of this, this is a redeem year for him. This is a show me you still can play year. He's 28 years old. I don't know if he'll be 29 during the season, but he's 28. he turns 29 basically at the end of the year this season. So he's still young enough. This is a prove it year for him. So if you do bring him in, I think he fits. He would be your slot receiver. Now, the problem with him, he doesn't have the long speed. He's more quick than fast. Could you work that into what you're trying to do in Brian Callahan? Probably so. But he comes in as your number three. But you got to have – what you're looking for now is a two. He's not a two, basically what I'm saying. Christian Kirk is not a two. Christian Kirk right now, because of the injuries and everything else, he's a three. You need a two. So I'm not going to get Christian Kirk. He wouldn't be my first choice, let's say that.
I wonder what kind of budget we're looking at for Christian Kirk, because I agree with you. He played so little last year.
And the year before that.
He is younger than Calvin Ridley, which might surprise some people. But these, again, are names that pop up in fantasy drafts and things like that. What you really have to ask yourself is, does he fit? Is there a role? And can you not pay him? Like, obviously, one of the things that has always been tagged with him is he's overpaid for what he's given you. If he's more of a bargain and a, I won't say it, it starts with an F, because it's on our banned list. But if
can't
it,
say that.
If it's just a guy that you can pay very little in an exploratory year and say, let's just see if he fits. And if he doesn't, we're not out a bunch of money. We're not paying dead money the next year to get rid of him. Then I would look at it. Other than that, I'm not interested.
This is a $3 to $5 million guy. That's just what he is, I believe. Now, he may go to the market and they may give him a little bit more, just depending on what team it is. But if I'm the Titans, he's in a prove it year. He hasn't played a full season in 2 years. And his best season was 1,100 yards. Yeah, you can come in as my three, and we're paying you about $3 to $5 million for a 1 year deal.
Would
$3 million up front and $2 million throughout the season.
Would you rather have Nick Westbrook-Ikhine back?
Yeah, give me Nick Westbrook-Ikhine.
So that to me is a key question. Is he better than what Nick Westbrook-Ikhine would give you?
What Nick Westbrook-Ikhine is going to give me is a guy that's going to play every game. Christian Kirk hadn't done that the last two seasons.
Well,
Nick has done that.
Let me ask you this, Derek. If you are building the archetype of the type of receiver that the Titans are missing, so we're not talking about a specific player, but if you're just building this receiver from the ground up, the type of receiver that this team needs in terms of his traits, what are you emphasizing when you look at the way this team likes to play? What traits does that nameless receiver need?
Knowing that Ridley is my one, first and foremost, I need you to be diverse. I need you to be able to play inside and outside.
Kirk can play in the slot.
Yeah, and Kirk can, but he's not an outside guy.
He's more of a slot. And not a guy that goes outside.
Exactly. Okay. Absolutely. Unless you want to motion him out and kind of try to manipulate the coverage in front of you, yeah, then you can motion him outside and he becomes the outside guy. But no, I'm talking about a guy. I need a guy like Amari Cooper. Not Amari Cooper now, but I need a guy like Amari Cooper. A guy that can play inside, a guy that can play outside.
I believe Amari Cooper is available this offseason.
Yes. But I'm not sure Amari Cooper is the guy he used to be. You know?
For sure.
Maybe.
Which is why these guys are all available.
Exactly. Which why but I think in the situation he went into Buffalo, he went into it in the middle of the season, I believe, and it didn't work out the way that they thought it was. But my prototype is a Amari Cooper, a guy that I could put in the inside, a guy that I could put in the outside, a guy that's quick and fast. He's not the biggest guy. He's not 6'3", 6'4". He has good size, but he does all those other things very well. He's versatile and he's multiple. That's the type of guy I need to be, not my number two. Calvin can do that, but I don't think Calvin is effective out of the slot like he is on the outside. Now, he needs to get better versus press, one-on-one coverage, but he is a outside guy. I'm cool with him being the outside guy. I need a guy now that can play multiple roles. He can be my slot guy at times. He can be my outside guy at times. Kind of like, oh, man, Amari Cooper, yes. I don't want to say Ja'Marr Chase because he's not at that level of Ja'Marr Chase yet. And if I'm asking for Ja'Marr Chase, I'm asking for a number one. But I'm not asking for a number one. So the only guy I can think of at this particular moment is an Amari Cooper type of player, a guy that can give me inside work as well as outside work.
One texter on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com mentioned Dyami Brown, who is a receiver with the Washington Commanders during the regular season. He had 30 catches on 40 targets for 308 yards and a touchdown. But if you're looking for a cheaper, solid option, maybe you get more bang for your buck. I'm not incredibly familiar with Dyami Brown's game, but that was a suggestion on our text line.
I am not familiar with him. Anyone outside of McLaurin on that team as far as pass catchers, I don't know much about.
Let me throw another name.
If at all.
Let me throw another name at you that is a potential cut candidate, according to Bill Barnwell of ESPN.com, a player I know you know, unfortunately, an older player, Tyler Lockett. He will be 32 entering the 2025 season.
Okay,
but again, if I'm bringing him in to be, he's my number three. He's my slot guy, number three. He's nothing more than that. Now, if I want a Tyler Lockett type of guy as my slot, then yeah, he would probably fit that mold. But he has diminished as a player, and I believe he dealt with injuries as well over the last couple of seasons. But again, he would we're talking, that's a strictly slot guy. I need a guy in this offense that Brian Callahan is putting together. I need a guy that can be multiple. I need a guy that can play inside, outside. I can motion him different things. He can give me the speed. That's the that was sort of the thing with D-Hop. No matter what you did, he was not beating you. He had no speed. He was not beating you down. He never threatened anybody downfield.
I've got another name for you.
Okay, before you give this name.
Yes.
We're building a theme here.
Yeah.
And I love this is like Adam, you're the person at the department store, right? And you're pointing out all these D-Mace is shopping, right? D-Mace is he's a wise shopper, right? He knows what he's looking for. Every name you brought to the table, he's like, I don't think that's the right one. You know, this and therein lies the problem, right? And I'm not saying you're a bad store owner, Adam, with your merchandise, but when you go shopping in free agency, what you're looking for, ideally, is almost never there. Otherwise, they wouldn't be out there on the market. They're older. They've got an injury history. And so it's rare that you get exactly what you're looking for. Let's just go over who the Titans have gone with in free agent wide receivers. And I will even add the Julio Jones trade, because that was one where, similarly, the Falcons were kind of done with Julio Jones. And they were like, his best days are behind him. We're willing. Oh, you will trade a second round pick? Sure. Okay, let's do that. Calvin Ridley, Tyler Boyd last year. Return on investment? Meh.
Yeah.
2023, DeAndre Hopkins, Chris Moore.
Meh.
Yeah.
Flaws, right?
Yeah.
2022, Robert Woods. I think that was a trade. But they didn't give up a whole lot to get him. But it was basically too big of a cap. He was a cap casualty.
Coming off of an ACL
Off of an ACL, and that was a no.
It was
didn't go well.
It was a dud.
Julio Jones in 2021.
The less we talk about that, the better.
Right. 2020, which was their best offensive year, they had homegrown guys. They had A.J. Brown. They had Chris Davis. They had Jonnu Smith. Those
Corey
were your
Davis.
Wide receiver. Corey Davis, sorry. Mm-hmm. Those were their main targets, and you see that's more ideal what you're looking for, because why? They drafted good players there. Mm-hmm. 2019, Adam Humphries they added. Mm-mm. Got very little for that.
Decker.
Mm-mm. Eric Decker, 2017, mm-mm. Got very little for that. Rashard Matthews, 2016, they got an okay return mm-hmm. on that, but he was never great to begin with.
Exactly.
You see what I'm saying, though? It is the track record, and this is basically over 10 years. You don't get great returns on investment for free agent wide receivers. And I think if we did it for almost any position, it would be about the same kind of thing. You rarely hit big in free agency, which is why it's so important to draft your own players. But
right.
You find yourself going back to this well, and I wouldn't doubt that they'll do it again this year because they're so bereft of talent.
I'm going to go back to –
because they haven't drafted well.
Good word.
Tyler Lockett.
Bereft is a good word.
Ah, we're going to use that one.
Yeah.
Tyler Lockett didn't miss any games. I was looking at his production, and I'm like, man, it dropped considerable. Yeah. Did he
they
miss
still
games?
Have DK Metcalf. They have Jackson Smith
yes,
and Jigba.
But he went from 1,000 yards in 22 to 23,894 yards to 24,600 yards. He's a diminishing asset. That's just what he is. He's a diminishing asset. And if you are – in a stock market or anything, do you want to take on a diminishing asset? You know?
I don't know. Sometimes the dented cans are discounted, right?
But that's the key. If you get a good monetary deal, right? You cannot put big money out there. And this is, again, the trap of free agency. You overpay to get a guy who is damaged good.
No, when I say diminishing asset, I mean a diminishing asset that you know is not going to rebound. And that's what I'm looking at. A diminishing asset that I know will not rebound. Would anybody touch that?
Only for no risk, for minimal risk. And that's what I'm talking about. Just if you want to throw a couple million dollars at a guy.
I'm not touching it. Because It's a diminishing asset that it's not going to get right. any better than what it, what it actually is now.
But I'm going back to you then and saying, okay, we don't have a third round pick.
Yeah.
We don't, you know, who do we have at wide receiver? Like you got to have somebody, right? This is the dilemma that you get into yeah. when you have no players.
Right. And
when you draft three straight years and get nobody.
And another texter on our text line mm-hmm. says, if the Titans are not going to get Abdul Carter on the edge, then take Travis Hunter. He's a two model who can play the inside and out, think he's a better corner, but better than the available receivers you're discussing.
Who said that he can play inside and out? Travis didn't play much inside. He was always, a lot of times he was lined up outside. That's his best. If you're going to play him at receiver, play him on the outside because now he can use his talent that he has because the guy's just a freak athlete. I'm not putting him, you know, he's not going to be my slot guy. He's just not. Now, in the NFL, you can probably get away with it with the motion and all this other stuff where he's the outside guy. He motions inside the original point guy. He motions inside, and now he becomes the two or the three closest to the tight end or the tackle. I'm sorry if all of this is going over people's heads. I do really apologize for that. But I'm just explaining it as it's going on. So you can do that, but if you're just talking, like, he is an outside guy. And he's not a polished outside guy. That's the problem. He's a hell of an athlete. But even the scouts are saying, man, no, he needs to play DB because it's going to take him some considerable hours to hone in on his skill at wide receiver, all while trying to play defensive back as well.
Quickly, one more wide receiver on this list by Bill Barnwell. A younger receiver who will be 28 entering this coming season, signed a one-year, $7 million deal last season, missed the beginning of the season with an injury, Marquise Hollywood Brown.
That's an interesting one. But if I'm going to go down the route of Brown, then I might as well wait for the kid out of Dallas, what's his name? I forget his name. It's right on the tip of my tongue
right now.
Not CeeDee Lamb, who played opposite CeeDee Lamb. He was in Houston. Before.
Brandon Cooks. Yes.
I'm going Brandon Cooks.
Brandon Cooks is available.
Because I don't think Brandon Cooks has the injury history, at least over the last couple of seasons, that Marquise yeah. Brown has had.
Brown played one game last
I'm
year?
Not a big Marquise Brown guy. I'm just not. There was a reason Baltimore let him walk.
So according to Bill Barnwell, Brandon Cooks is on this list. While Cooks is still only 31 years old, the well-traveled veteran entered the league at age 20. So there's more tread on his tires than for other players at the same age. He made $8 million with the Cowboys last season, but as an unrestricted free agent, he's probably looking at something closer to $3 million on a one-year deal. For a player who has dealt with concussions and has made $116 million during his career, that might not make it worth his while to return.
Now, if you're conceding, see, I wasn't. Now, that part does sort of alarm me a bit because, you know, the slightest hit because of his history can put him out for a considerable amount of games. But if you're just talking about the talent, I'm going with Cooks. Over Mark, I listen. When Marquise Brown, when they let him walk out of Baltimore, they I think they traded him to the Cardinals. One or two, they traded him or he walked.
They
traded him because he wasn't a number one,
and his numbers were not good.
Exactly,
the Cardinals.
And when he went to the Cardinals, his numbers dipped. So I would, and he's just back off an injury. He only played one game, and that was the Super Bowl. I would rather go Brandon Cooks than because of Brandon Cooks. I just think he's a different type.
And at this stage of his career,
he comes cheaper. I think Brandon Cook would come cheaper.
And I imagine it wouldn't be hard to sell him on, look, you're probably going to be our number three option.
Exactly.
And it seems like at this stage of his career, he might be willing to accept.
And I think Marquise Brown wants to make some more money. And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying there is, but if I'm looking at the two, I've always liked Brandon Cook's makeup. To me, he's a dog. Like that dude, he just goes out there and play. He doesn't whine about getting the ball, even though there's nothing wrong with that. But he just goes out there and he plays football, man. Those guys sometimes get overlooked. Like Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. He's just a guy that just, that's why I like him, man. He's just, he's a guy that goes play, that goes and play football. He's a dog. He doesn't worry about all that other stuff. That's why I'm so high on Brandon Cooks over Marquise Brown. I don't think Marquise got that dog in him. I just don't.
And Brandon Cooks.
And he played, no, I'm talking about Marquise Brown. Yeah. I think Brandon Cooks does. But I don't think he got enough of that dog rubbed off on him when he was in Baltimore. I don't think he has it in him.
Brandon Cooks, he's been everywhere, man.
Yeah, he's been a lot of places,
New Orleans, too. New England, Los Angeles, Houston, Dallas.
When I saw him playing for Dallas last year, I have to say, I was like, is that the same Brandon Cooks that years ago was in L.A.? Like, yes. I was thinking,
he's
I was
been
like,
everywhere.
Yep, that's the guy.
One texter, I've got to do it. One texter says, I still believe in Treylon Burks.
Oh!
Don't
that's
do
a believer.
It!
We still have a believer.
And can we get a bell rang every time Treylon Burks' name is mentioned, whenever it's mentioned?
We need some.
Because it's so rare
we need
now.
Some sounders. We'll get some sounders.
That is one, though. I wonder if they will completely cut bait. Because I saw a, you know, there was one of these. These are a lot of articles you're seeing right now around the league are who could be primary cut bait kind of guys to clear up salary cap space, right? This is all in the context of the salary cap just went way up, right? So this is a year where if you're any good and your contract isn't too fat, teams – will have more room than some years
to keep you,
to be able to keep you. Treylon Burks, I think Joe Rex wrote, he circled as a possible cap cut for the Titans, and I think his number is something like $4.6 million this year. That's not going to break the bank. Like, you're not sitting there as the Titans and saying, we have no room, we've got to cut somewhere. So the decision to cut Burks would be simply because they're just completely done with him. So do they want to go through this thing again of, well, let's see if Treylon Burks can make it? You don't really have anything to lose.
No, you don't.
So I wouldn't be totally shocked if they just kept him around to see.
I wouldn't be shocked.
Because
if they
all
kept
these other guys were just talking about, there's flaws all around.
I wouldn't be surprised if they kept him and just let him battle it out through training camp. Listen, I haven't mentioned Treylon Burks because it's been out of sight, out of mind. And when the coach didn't think to let the public know that one of his players that they drafted had knee surgery, that told me everything about what they think or what they were thinking with Treylon Burks. Listen, I believe Treylon Burks has all the talent in the world. The young man is gifted to play this position, and I've seen it before, but he hasn't been able to put it together for whatever reason. So I was high on him. I'm not high on him anymore because he hasn't proven it. Now, if he goes out there and they give him a shot and he proves it and he makes the team and he starts proving it during the season, then okay. But until he puts himself in a position where he's proving it, where he shows them that I love this game, I want to play this game, then he's just like other guys that I've seen. Damn, you got a hell of a talent, dude. But for whatever reason, I'm not saying it's because you don't want to, but for whatever reason, you just haven't been able to put it all together.
615-737-1025. All right, it's time for Ask D-Mace, and I told you I was going to incentivize you to call or text. The best question for Derek, as chosen by Derek, will receive a pair of tickets to see the Predators take on the Avalanche tomorrow at 5 o'clock. Call us. Text us, 615-737-1025. Make sure if you text us, you put your name and where you're from in the text. The best question for Derek, as chosen by Derek, will receive a pair of tickets to see the Predators take on the Avalanche tomorrow at 5 o'clock. We'll get to that next. Willie Dunnick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025-1063, The Game.
He played 15 years in the NFL.
A quick throw. Touchdown, Derek Mason.
He had over 12,000 receiving yards.
Midfield, and there he goes. 80 yards for the touchdown.
And now you can ask him anything. Have a question about football or life? Now's your time to ask D-Mace.
We'll welcome you in.
Now.
D-Mace.
On 102.5 and 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app.
D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan. It's time. to ask D-May, 615-737-1025. Again, I have incentivized you. The best question for Derek, as chosen by Derek, will win a pair of tickets to see the Nashville Predators take on the Colorado Avalanche tomorrow at Bridgestone Arena at 5 o'clock. So if you've got a question, call us, text us. If you text us, just make sure you give me your name and where you're from as well so that we can get in touch with you. If Derek chooses you, let's start with Jerry. Jerry is on our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com. Jerry, thank you for calling. What's your question for Derek?
Hey, thank you. D-Mace, who was your biggest influence and what teacher would you nominate for Teacher of the Year if you could do it today?
Thanks for the call, Jerry. Who was your biggest influence?
Biggest influence, my brothers. Those were my biggest influences. When you got three older brothers, you know, they're going to influence you one way or the other, good or bad. And, you know, my brothers, they always took care of me when I was younger. And they influenced me because I didn't want to play football. I didn't. That's not a sport that I wanted to play. Did I play it in the neighborhood? Absolutely, I played it in the neighborhood. But I didn't want to play it, you know, Little League or in high school. Quick story. We went – all three of my – well – two of my older brothers and myself on the east side of Detroit, we went and tried out for this for the youth football team. Back in the days, you have to go try out where your age group out, whatever, big play, big, you know, area, big field, you all try out. Everybody made the team. My brothers made the team. I made it. I didn't want to play. I didn't go back. I didn't go back for a single practice because that's not what I wanted to do. But they continue to encourage me. They continue to you know, just watching them and see how, you know, they excelled on the football field. And it inspired me to want to play that game and play it at a high level. So much so that, you know, like my brothers, they may get in trouble, you know, if they did this nowadays. But my brothers would make me play guys that were bigger than me. Like physically make me play them. Like one-on-one. And you're not running up and down the field. I'm not throwing you deep passes. No. I'm throwing you these short passes. You got to get away. Oh, my hands. They would do that to me and make me play for hours, man. For hours. So they've always been my biggest influences in this game because they taught me how to play the game. And they instilled that dog in me that I had and continue to have all throughout my years throughout the NFL. As far as teachers. I would say it was Miss Keys, my social studies teacher. She had a big influence on a lot of people, and everybody loved Miss Keys. She was just approachable. She knew how to talk to the students. She made the class fun. You know, she was just one of those teachers that you couldn't wait to get to her class. Because you knew you were going to get the lessons, but you knew you were going to have a good time in doing it. So Miss Keys would be one of those teachers that I would nominate. And I don't even think she's teaching anymore because this is so long. This is back in, I was in high school in the early 90s, so I don't think she's teaching anymore.
Back in the olden days?
Yeah, back in the olden days, man. Back in the olden days when we didn't have those tablets that y'all use now in school. We had textbooks, Willie.
That's right.
That we had to carry in our book bags. Or, matter of fact, when you didn't have a book bag, you had to carry them in your hand throughout the school. I've seen people do that. I had to do it a few times.
All right. On our text line, Chase from White Bluff wants to know, Derek, what was going through your mind when Bill Belichick told you to shut the F up and look at the scoreboard?
The crazy part about
Okay, first of all, before you answer, can you give people the context of what this was? There was a clip that went around, right?
Yeah, and I don't know why this – I guess because that's when Bill came out with his – they came out with this thing, a bill for that. Like, they were honoring him in some way.
If David can find a edited version of the clip. I don't know if you can find an edited version.
I feel
version.
Like we have it in the
system. Yeah,
there's definitely
– yeah. Okay, David will find it. But you're on the Ravens. Of course, Belichick is with the Patriots.
With the Patriots. It's during the regular season. And I got to give everybody the whole context. We're moving up and down the field. And they hadn't been able to cover me at this point throughout the game. I had my share of catches. And you know, he's not the defensive coordinator. Dean Pease. And if you know anything about Dean Pease, you know that Dean Pease was at Michigan State when Nick Saban was there. And I was there as well. So I was there 2 years with Dean Pease on that coaching staff. So Dean Pease and I had a history. And anytime I would play against a Dean Pease-led team or Dean Pease, we would always – you know, go back and forth. But it was fun because he was a Michigan State guy, and we could relate. So I'm going up and down the sideline, and he and I are talking. And Dean Pease is just being Dean Pease. He ain't upset about it. He and I are just talking. And then old Belichick wants to chime his big head self in there. Like, seriously, dude, sit down with your old cut sleeves. Sit down somewhere, man. And he said, he was right, though. They were winning, but nobody asked for your 2 cents, okay? But I told him, like, dude, no matter whether I'm winning or losing, I am a competitor. I'm going to smile, and I'm going to have a good time doing it. It's not, people, it's not about football to me. If you stripped away football, see, some people say, I love football. No, no, no. Football's okay. I love competition. So put me anywhere in a competitive circle, we're going at it. I don't care what it is.
I've been football, bowling with D-Mace where that happened.
Football
and
is
I
just
blew a
vessel.
Big lead. I blew a big lead in the game because D-Mace got very competitive. He started off slow, and we were talking, and then the next thing you know, D-Mace was really yapping it up because
it
came
like,
from behind.
Man, I don't, regardless if it's football,
still stinks.
Pinochle, craps, I don't care what it is. Dice, euchre, like, we're going to compete. Like, so... Like, that's what I was doing. I was competing in Dean Pease, and then his old big ass self gonna come in there. Mason, look at the scoreboard. Man, shut up.
Zenny is on our phone line, driven by Wilson County Hyundai.com. Zenny, thank you for calling. What's your question for Derek?
Yeah, so I was thinking about it, and if the Titans have another horrible losing season, and they ended up firing Coach Callahan, and that would make it about what the third head coach getting fired in 8 years, 2 general managers. Do you think at that point that the Adams family should all come together and go to Ms. Amy and try to talk her out of the, you know, the ownership position of the Titans, of the Tennessee Titans? And because, like, with her dad, you know, they were talking about how after the Super Bowl, you know, the Super Bowl run, he went all downhill with all of his coaches and GMs, pretty much the same way with now Miss Amy and after the AFC Championship run that we've had. So I feel like now, if after this season, if they have another terrible season, I feel like it's time for the Adams family to have a big talking about this Titans organization.
Thanks for the call, Zenny.
That's pretty much it.
Listen, I'm torn with this one. Because they can't keep going the way that they're going. And she can't keep making what seem to be, I'm not saying that they are, what are perceived to be knee-jerk movements. Whether it be firing a GM in the middle of the season, firing the head coach, then hiring a GM, and then firing in that GM, then firing that GM. You know, they seem like you don't have any patience with anything. So that seems to be the perception. But I also know that where this organization was before she took hold of it, like, give it here, I will be responsible for it, and I take care of it. So I know where they were before that and where they are now. And she's done a damn good job at sort of, you know, making things better. Now, the product over the last 2 seasons on the field haven't been good, and it's probably in part of what, you know, the moves that she's made as far as head coach, GM, and the firing, the hiring. So that may be a part of it. But, I mean, the roster is too. So, you know, even if this season goes bad, I can't see anyone coming to Miss Amy or Amy Adams Shrunk and saying, you need to give me ownership or you need to sell the team. No, I think she's done a hell of a job from where that organization as a whole was and how those players felt walking in that building to what it is now.
615-737-1025. We'll continue Ask D-Mace on the other side again. The best question for Derek, as chosen by Derek, will receive a pair of tickets to see the Nashville Predators face off against the Colorado Avalanche tomorrow at 5 o'clock. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025, 1063, The Game.
I'm going to foul on my face all day, Coach.
Mason, will ya? Why don't we talk after the game, all right? Just up. Can you look at the scoreboard?
There it was.
He was right about that. We were losing.
Derek Mason v. Bill Belichick. Place your bets. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. Part two of Ask D-Mace. Let's get to Eric in Nashville on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Eric, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Of course.
I have a quick little story first, if you don't mind. Just kind of a throwback to last week when Derek told his story about shooting the basket in the wrong hoop.
Yeah, sure. Yes.
Bad memories.
Kind of a similar story. So, but this was in football when I was like a sophomore in high school. Like I was the second string running back on our varsity team and then the starter on the JV team. And so we were in a JV game, and we were up by probably four or five touchdowns, and I'd already scored like three or four. I don't remember. Just had run all over the field, and coach was like, "Gonna run you one more series and then take you out." So very first play, we had 85 yards to go, and take a toss around the left end, had like one guy to beat, got around him, and then it's just open grass all the way to the end zone. Get about to the other 35, 40 yard line, and just all of a sudden I just fumbled. Just the ball, it came loose, and I like threw it over my shoulder basically. And so like by the time I got turned around, the guy who was chasing me was like on top of it, and like it's like you hear the crowd going from ah to oh, and so that's my embarrassment.
Football follies.
That was a good one.
Yes. So, D-Mace, if you could pick any, like, historic college football team to be a part of, like, who would you go with?
Thanks for the call, Eric.
Oh, man, I believe.
So, you can be specific, like the 1996 so-and-sos.
I would be a part because, listen, there are a lot of great teams out there, I understand. But I'm green and white all the way. I bleed green and white all the way. So, I'm sticking with my Spartans. I would be a part of that team that was that went to the first ever new format to the college football tournament when they played Alabama, and yeah. they got mollywhopped. I was there.
I was in Dallas
with my son.
Yeah, I was in Dallas. I didn't go to your game. I went to the Predators game. They equally got smoked that same night by the Stars.
Yeah, so I would love to be a part of that team because it's my alma mater. Playing in a big game like that and then playing against a guy that coached at the university at Michigan State that was playing Alabama. So that would be a game. And I know that may not be exciting to everyone else, but I'm thinking about it from the standpoint of, you know, I bleed green and white, so which year? Or either the Rose Bowl year they went and they won a Rose Bowl with Andre Rison and those guys. So be a part of that team or the team that went to the first ever new format of the college football playoffs.
Andrew from Dover on our text line says, with your love for the NBA and Nashville, if Nashville placed a bid for a team and you were one of the co-owners to get it here, who would you hire as your GM, your coach, and what would you name the team?
Gosh, that's hard because I don't know many GMs in the league. I would try to, you know.
What about the Dallas Mavericks GM? What about him?
How about Nico Harrison?
Yeah, I take.
He might be looking for a job.
Yeah, he may be
point.
Looking for a job after trading away Dirk.
Luka Doncic.
Doncic. Yeah, so he may be looking for a job pretty soon here. They're gonna run him out. So somebody like that has a long history of acquiring talent and not just acquiring talent, finding a way with the coach to make sure that talent produces on the court. So somebody like him. Now, what the name would be, it would be here in Nashville. So, you know, I like to, for some reason, I don't know, it just came to my head. And it may be as cheesy as anything. would it be? It couldn't be plural. I guess it could be Nashville Music. I don't know. It sounds cheesy.
You know what? There was a women's professional team years ago, and they were called the Nashville Noise.
Yeah, see, in my
and they would
cheesy.
Play their theme song was "Come On, Feel the Noise."
And that Twisted Sister,
quite,
is that
yeah,
Twisted Sister?
Yeah, yes. No, it's a Quiet Riot.
Quiet actually, Riot, Twisted
yeah.
Sister,
same
Quiet
era.
Riot. Yeah,
yeah, same era.
I'm getting my hair metal bands mixed up. Yes,
it so didn't quite go over that great.
So that would be an interesting one. Like, what would the name be? Nashville, whatever, or would I call it? I couldn't call it the Tennessee. Because you got Duvall's, I think you need to be regional.
And with Memphis
local.
Already being
exactly.
in the league.
And with Memphis being in the league.
It would have to be Nashville.
Nashville. So Nashville.
Nashville Notes?
I was just thinking that too, the Nashville Notes.
Oh.
But would it be in line with the Utah Jazz?
And you already have the Nashville Sounds, so that's kind of the same theme with the guitar and everything like that. So do you have to kind of shake it up and just not do music?
Yeah.
It's always a tough one.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
D-Mace, this is a great nostalgic. We get nostalgic on Ask D-Mace. When you guys were the Tennessee Oilers, I promise you, we must have had 5,000 different calls over about a two-year period of people suggesting a new name. Hey, I got a nickname for the new team. Because at first, it was like, hey, they got to change the name. Right. Oilers isn't going to fly. We need our own name. Then they announced, Bud Adams announces that in a year, it's going to be a new name. And the fans are going to have a say. So our show was the absolute number one place where you could call and throw your name. We got people sending stuff to the radio station. We had people sending helmets with a logo on it and everything. And I was like, you guys, we have got to move on. Like, they're going to decide what it is. But it was everything from copperheads to thunder to tornadoes and everything. So it is.
I could say the Nashville Thunder, but you already got the
Oklahoma City Thunder.
Right, right.
Nashville Tornadoes.
But all I'm saying is be careful. Don't open the can of worms unless you wanted to spend every day. Hey, guys, I got a nickname for the team. Like, please. Like, we wish. Could we get paid a dollar by everybody who calls the show and has a suggestion? Because we could have made a nice little side amount of money there.
Yeah.
One person suggests the Nashville Hangovers.
What would be the logo?
You don't want to know.
Stumbling. Oh, man.
Zach Galifianakis. His mug.
A puddle of vomit, perhaps.
Oh, man.
Nice. In the shape of an N.
What color would that be? Green?
Nashville. It'd be a little brown.
Lemon
a little
lime?
Green.
Lemon lime? Green or yellow?
It's definitely green.
Green.
Maybe both.
Yellow. All right. Our last question from
Hit
Colton on our text line. He wants to know, how much did the media affect you as a player, and who was the quote-unquote Jared in Nashville when you played? From Colton on our text line.
Honestly,
I think the answer might still actually be around these parts.
Yeah. Because even though – and this is no slight to Paul or anybody else. And it's just the way I viewed it. Back then, there was no quote-unquote Jared, I don't think.
It was a different time for sports talk radio.
It was a different time
for
sports
talk. It was in its infancy at
exactly.
that point.
And we were a new team. You got to understand, man, we hit the ground running. Once we opened that stadium, there wasn't much bad talk after that.
No.
So you couldn't have these, hot takes in regard to how the team was doing or not doing. Yeah, we did have a year in there where we didn't do so well, but we were either the first 2 years we were 8-8 competitive, and it came down to the last couple of games that we didn't make the playoffs, especially that 98 season. And then 99, we go into a new stadium, we hit the ground running, and we go to the Super Bowl. How much bad talk are you going to get?
It was relatively little. I'll tell you what ended up getting a lot of discussion. You'll remember this well, but back the landscape back then for maybe those who can't go back that far. I was a little younger, but I was on the show that probably had the most talk. And back then, like we had a very big audience because there were no podcasts. There was only one
There were a couple other stations that did sports talk, but for example, the Titans flagship station did not have a sports talk show per se. They only had their game day coverage. They were on a music station. So for talk about the team, it was really where we were at the time. So George Plaster and I would say Greg Pogue at the time were the two that I think would fit the category that you're talking about, or the texter put in there, that were going to push the envelope and be critical of somebody, say, like Yancey Thigpen,
exactly,
who couldn't get healthy. Why can't he get healthy? Those were the kind of things. Mm-hmm. Carl Pickens, what's going on? Why did they sign him? And the biggest one probably was when Steve McNair had back surgery.
Yes, that was the biggest one, yeah.
And this is when you guys, I mean, this was when we were all realizing, hey, we have the NFL in our city. Like when it was the Tennessee Oilers, I think we tried to generate a lot of NFL talk, but it was still slow to happen because you guys were in Memphis, then it was at Vanderbilt. You guys hadn't broken through yet, and there was still a lot of SEC traditions. Mm-hmm. Tennessee had an unbelievably good college football team, so we were reluctant to dive in. But then when you guys moved into the new stadium, it went to a new stratosphere.
Exactly.
And so the lightning rod topic would have been when Neil O'Donnell came in for Steve McNair and played really well.
And then Steve gets the job back.
That got a lot of debate and discussion.
But
there were some people nationally and locally that said they should stay with Neil O'Donnell and not go back to Steve McNair. So to me, that was when you had for the first time, I thought, like, wow, we're a major league city with heavy debate on the NFL.
All right. Because
before that, it was all college stuff.
Derek, who had the best question?
Oh, man. Let me put my glasses back on. I took my glasses off.
Derek has the scrolls. He's written all these things
down. It would
down.
Be
He's
Eric. Got the
name. Eric in Nashville?
Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
All right. Congratulations, Eric. You will win a pair of tickets to see the Predators take on the Avalanche. David James will be in touch with you to get those tickets to you. Congratulations. 615-737-1025. We'll continue the conversation about the Titans coming up next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingit, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.